Cubs fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Cubs podcast, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I am one of your co-hosts, Sean Sears. I'll be doing the show without Ryan Davis, a solo show Ryan couldn't make today. But I will be recapping this weekend's games, two of which I went to this weekend for the first time covering for NBC Sports. Very cool. I'll talk about that as we get into the Cardinals series. We'll talk about the Cubs pitching, why I think they might need to make a two-for-one type of deal. I can explain that a little bit later in that second segment. And then we'll do a quick preview of tonight's game against the Diamondbacks, which I will also be at. Very excited about that, if you couldn't tell. And then we'll do a quick preview of the NL Central, kind of go over the standings as we enter this series with the Diamondbacks. Of course, you can find my work at Locked On Cubs as well as NBC Sports Chicago. I will, once again, like I said, be credited for tonight's game for Arizona. It'll be a 7:05 start in Chicago. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears, and you can follow my own podcast, The 312, at 312pod, my radio and podcast show that's live every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. on 1590 WCGM. And that can be listened to in the Evanston and Chicagoland area as well as online, all sorts of stuff. You follow The 312. If you're interested, you'll be able to hear it. No problem. So, without further ado, let's jump into this Cardinals series. So, of course, Ryan already recapped that Thursday night game where the Cubs were able to pull off the win. I think the final score was 7-2. Double check on that really quick. But you know, good game for the Cubs. Excuse me, 9-6. That was a different game. That was Jason Hayward had three hits, I believe. Was able to drive two runs in, scored two runs, stole a base. Just came up some really big hits in that game. It was huge. I wrote a story on Jason Hayward, actually, after my Thursday night game. If you want to check that out, that is on my Twitter page. But Friday afternoon's game was an absolute shellacking from the Cardinals. They won 18-5. The Cubs had three position players step onto the mound, being starting with, I believe it was Tommy La Stella, who threw a 53-mile-an-hour curveball, which was actually okay. Very bad, though. Not exactly blowing you away with stuff. Then came Victor Quarantino, whose fastball, they stopped showing the speed on the mound, or on the on the scoreboard in the left center when they were talking about, you know, showing the pitch speed and whatnot. They stopped showing Victor Quarantino because he was topping it at about 66 miles an hour. And then Ian Happ came in and torched everyone with a 78-mile-an-hour fastball. And is now the club leader of ERA, was very, very adamant about sharing that with the beat writers, wanting that to be in stories the next day. It was a bad game. Bad game for the Cubs. John Lester just did not look good. After the game, he talked about how he's been working on something mechanically, and he wasn't necessarily surprised this was coming, as I think a lot of people weren't. Looking at just some of his peripheral stats, you could see that there's a regression coming. His walks were a little bit higher. His FIP, which is the fielding adjustment for his ERA, he was very dependent, clearly, on his defenders to get outs, which that part isn't surprising. He's 33 years old. He's topping out at about 91, 92 miles an hour in his fastball. He's not blowing guys away. But he was saying even when he gets these guys set up for these strikeouts that he hasn't been able to get recently, he hasn't been able to execute the pitch. He hasn't been able to miss many bats. But he talked about how he's not trying to miss bats. He's just trying to avoid walks. He said it multiple times. He'd rather give up, you know, a scorching single to the right side than, you know, walk a guy ever. So he's a competitor. He knows what's going on, though, and I think that was a big part. Him being able to acknowledge kind of the whole situation, the minutiae of it all. But, yeah, not a very good night for John Lester. He was out after the third inning. Matt Carpenter hit three home runs and had two doubles. Because, of course, he did. The man is on an absolute tear. He ended the day 4-for-5 with 7 RBIs, scoring a run four times. He has homered in every game since and prior to that. I think he's got a 6-game home run streak right now. Matt Carpenter is the hottest man in baseball right now. So don't throw to him would be my suggestion. But, yeah, Cubs got absolutely lit up, unfortunately. So one little quick tidbit before we go to the next game. Anthony Rizzo actually had to be pulled out of this game because he would not stop pestering Joe Maddon to get into the game to pitch. So Joe decided, instead of being berated by Rizzo to come into the game, he just pulled him out. So he left, I think, in like the sixth inning, and they just kind of went from there. So the Cubs, the good thing was they were kind of able to salvage the bullpen a little bit. Once Lester got pulled from the third inning, Anthony Bass came in, did not get an out, got pulled, and then James Norwood came in and was able to get these last couple outs. Brian Dunson came in later in the game, and that was the last legitimate pitcher. Dunson kind of got hurt once again, gave up 3 runs off 2 hits, all earned, including a walk. He had a home. Someone hit a home run off him. I think it was Matt Carpenter again, unfortunately. Not very good. But, you know, LaStella, Carantini, and Happy each coming in for an inning, kind of closed out this game. It was almost a four-hour game. That was easily the most... It sucked. There's no way around it. That was a bad game to be at. Bad game to go as a fan, bad game to go to as, you know, a reporter. But, you know, nonetheless, those will happen. So, taking a look here at Saturday's doubleheader. The first game was at 105. The Cubs won that first one 7-2. It was a solid game. The Cubs were able to score a run in the first inning and then take the lead back in the fifth, score 4 runs in the seventh, and take a 7-2 win. Cubs out hit the Cardinals 7-2. It was a solid outing for Tyler Chatwood, surprisingly. Not anything too impressive. He went 5 1/3, gave up 1 run, walked 6, only struck out 2. I think he now has more walks than strikeouts officially at 79 or 80 walks to like 77 strikeouts, something along the lines of that. Not very good. He somehow made it work, only pitched 85 pitches, but was pulled eventually for Carl Edwards Jr., who closed it down. Justin Wilson came in, Steve Cheesick came in as well, and Jesse Chavez went 2 innings to end the game and pick up, oh no, there was no save, but nonetheless, great debut for Jesse Chavez, a guy that, of course, won again later in the series. It was impressive. So it was a good win for the Cubs. They came back, unfortunately, in that game two and had the lead at one point. The final score, I believe, was 6-3. The Cubs took a 3-1 lead in the sixth inning. The Cardinals made it 3-2. And then 3-3 in the eighth, and then tacked on 3 runs in the top of the ninth and beat the Cubs 6-3, out hitting them 7-10. That Matt Carpenter guy, pretty good at baseball, in case you didn't know. He also hit a home run again off of, I believe, Randy Rosario in the seventh to make it 3-2. Cubs just kind of fell apart towards the end. Justin Wilson gets tagged with the loss. Pedro Strop has the blown save. It was just not good. Not good. After Mike Montgomery went 6 innings, only gave up a run, walked 2, struck out 3, went 87 pitches. Rosario came in, gave up the home run to Carpenter. Strup came in after him, saved that 7th inning, and then came to the 8th, came to the 9th, blew the lead. Justin Wilson also gave up those 2 runs. Chizik gave up a run. Dylan Maples came in to kind of salvage the inning, but at that point the Cubs were down 3 runs, and nothing could really happen, so... Unfortunately, games like that will happen when you don't have a guy like Brandon Morrow. I wouldn't hold much stock into it because the Cubs then came out on Sunday and were able to beat the Cardinals 7-2. This was a solid game. Cardinals took an early 1-0 lead in the first inning once again. They scored again in the fourth. The Cubs scored 2 runs to tie it, and then the Cubs would score a run in the sixth, the seventh, and then 3 runs in the eighth, win this game 7-2, and... Jose Quintana, surprising longest outing in the longest times. If I could talk right now, very impressive game here from Quintana, who honestly struggled very early. Was at about 40 pitches through the second inning, battled his way through. The Cubs needed him to step up massively and go some innings. Thank God the Cubs offense was able to give him some run support, allow him to stick around. He goes 7 innings, allowing 6 hits, 2 earned runs, has 4 walks, which is a little disappointing, had 6 strikeouts, though, and went a career high, at least for the Cubs, a career high, 121 pitches. It was his first quality start in about, essentially, 3-4 weeks. So, shout out to Jose Quintana for coming out and doing that. Jesse Chavez came in for an inning, and Randy Rosario capped it off after the game, had a 5-run lead. Impressive win here for the Cubs once again. Offensively, nothing too crazy. I mean, you know, Kyle Schwarber hit a home run, but everything else was pretty much just good hitting. Ian Happ had a double that scored a run. Wilson Contreras, I believe, had 2 RBI as well. I think he had an RBI single. The Cubs just kind of were poking the ball through and finding ways through it. Rizzo and Bryant both came away with the RBI. Good win. This was a good way to finish off this series as the Cubs now look to face the Diamondbacks here. But honestly, to take 3-5 from the Cardinals, who, honest to God, offensively look like one of the better teams in baseball, it was hard to believe this team was just barely over 500. Of course, when you talk about the standings here really quick, Cubs now 3.5 lead over the Milwaukee Brewers. The Cardinals have fallen to fourth place. They are now behind the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are surprisingly on a hot streak now, and 2 games over .500. So we can go back to that in the second half, though. But overall, really good 5-game series for the Cubs. They're going to see the Cardinals again this weekend, a team they're going to get very familiar with. Of course, if they haven't already, they will. But, you know, when it comes down to it, taking 3 of 5 from a team that had possibly the hottest hitter in baseball and some really good pitching, it's big. Of course, Carlos Martinez throughout this series was ended up on the DL. He will not be facing the Cubs next weekend, so they dodge a bullet there. You don't want to see anyone get hurt, but, you know, it's not good news, but it's positive news, I guess, for the Cubs. At least they won't have to face Martinez again, who they did have success against on Thursday, but, you know, that's very unlikely to happen again. So let's move on to the second segment. So the Cubs will be facing the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are 54-46. They are currently in second place in the NL West behind the Dodgers, a game and a half back behind the Dodgers, who just, of course, acquired Manny Machado. They would be currently, I believe, they're a game back in the wild card spot because they have, I think, 2-3 more losses than Atlanta, 1 more loss than Milwaukee, 1 more win than Atlanta, but 2 less wins than Milwaukee. So they're about a half game back out of the wild card spot, right? Or a game back, excuse me, from the wild card spot. So they're a good team. They're a playoff team. They're going to have Patrick Corbin on the mound here tonight. He is a left-handed pitcher with a 3.24 ERA. In his last 7 starts, he got annihilated by Atlanta, giving up 4 runs off 6 hits and a 6-inning loss, only threw 92 pitches. But before that, had a string of really good starts against Pittsburgh, San Francisco, St. Louis, and Colorado. He only gave up 4 runs collectively between those 4 starts. Blanking the Pirates, only giving up a run to the Cardinals and Giants, and then Colorado scored 2 runs off of him. All 4 no decisions, though. He hasn't won a game since July, or since before June 11th. So not necessarily a superstar type of guy, but he's having a good season, clearly. On the other side here for the Cubs, Luke Farrell will step on the mound. They were very happy that they didn't have to use him in yesterday's game. He will start today. He went against, I think it was Cincinnati and then Minnesota. He hasn't started a game, I don't believe, or if he has, it's been about 3 innings. So, you know, basically, this is probably going to be somewhat of a bullpen game for the Cubs. Luke Farrell is a guy that could probably go 4 innings, 5 innings. If he has a great start, you know, that's huge. But I think the Cubs would be happy to get 3 to 4 innings, go to a guy like Chizik for 2 innings, go to a guy like Chavez maybe for an inning, and just kind of let the bullpen handle these things as they go on. Might be a little bit of a taxing game. The Cubs play, I believe, 53 games in the next 56 days. They only have 4 days off. Barring any rain delays or whatnot, the Cubs are going to be really at it. So they're going to need guys like Luke Farrell, probably Dwayne Underwood, pitchers like that to step up. Right now, Arizona's record in the last, I believe, 10 games are 4-6. They have been on a little bit of a downward trend, but they've been a lot better away than they have been at home. Have won the same amount of games away and home, but they have lost 4 less games at 27-21 compared to their 27-25 home record. The Cubs are on a 7-3 run. They have been one of the better teams at baseball at home, 31-17 at Wrigley Field. They're always playing better in Chicago, which no surprise there. This is a game that the Cubs need to win. They need to put some distance here. If they can show they can beat the teams like the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, and you know, hopefully those type of teams, it's big. It's a kind of a measuring stick type of moment to show how good this Cubs team is. Right now, they, of course, have the best record in the National League at 58-40, but, you know, they also play some pretty bad teams consistently. Of course, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh have been very good so far. I mean, not very good, but hot recently. So this will be kind of a litmus test, measuring stick moment, whatever you want to call it, to kind of look at this team and kind of figure out what's going on. But I want to talk a little bit about the pitching more so than I want to talk about this Arizona game. I'll be at the game tonight. Feel free to follow me. I'll be covering it. Follow NBC Sports. Do whatever you like. Tweet me questions. I'll see what I can do to help you out during the game if you like. But I want to talk about the pitching because when I was at Wrigley these last couple days, the information that they were giving out about Yu Darvish was very, very, you know, Joe Maddon, the first day back from the break, was asked about it, and he essentially said he didn't know anything. He said he hadn't talked to the trainers, he hadn't really texted you or whoever was in charge of, you know, communicating with you or whatnot. They hadn't really had much conversation, but we saw Darvish kind of come in and out of the clubhouse a bunch. He looked okay, happy, good spirits. He played catch apparently Saturday and Sunday a little bit. But beyond that, there's nothing really going on other than the Cubs saying it's going to be a little bit. Theo Epstein's comments yesterday, Sunday afternoon, were a little bit eye-opening as well, saying something along the lines of, you know, you can't put all your stock into one player and expect him to be healthy if he hasn't shown that. At some point, you have to kind of, you know, pivot and adjust and make the necessary change. And right now, they can't really rely on Yu Darvish. So the Cubs are saying, well, you know, as much as we, you know, have invested in him and want him to be here, if he can't, we need to address that situation right now. In comes the Orioles here a little bit. The Orioles, of course, have Zach Britton. There's been reports. I wrote a story for NBC Sports about how the Cubs are apparently deeply involved in conversations with Zach Britton and the Orioles, whatever that means. Basically, the Cubs are interested in Britton. They want to bring him to the back end of that bullpen. That makes a huge, huge, huge difference for this bullpen, who's right now, of course, without Brandon Morrow. But there's also talk that the asking price for Zach Britton might be kind of low. You look at what Juris Familia just got the Mets back in a trade. It's very weak. He went to the Athletics, a team that's hoping to get in the postseason this year. I hope they do. They're a fun team. But beyond that, this is a team that did not get much back here being the Mets for a guy that's good and been healthy for the most part these last couple of years. When you talk about a guy like Zach Britton, who was really, really good in 2015 and 2016, and even parts of 2017 before he got hurt, talented guy, but you know he's 30 years old. He's coming off a ruptured Achilles tendon. Has been so-so this season. I think a 3.42 ERA. He's got a couple saves. He's only pitched about 14, 15 innings this year. Nothing crazy yet, but you're talking about a guy that's had some serious injury issues, and because of that, his talent has diminished. His actual stock, what he's worth, has diminished. People think the Cubs can get Zach Britton a lot cheaper than some people may think, especially when you look at the Familia deal. What the return was, the Cubs could match that and then some, probably. You also talk about guys like David Bodie, Ryan Cord, I guess if you really want to. Miguel Amaya has been fantastic and, you know, played in the Futures game. Looks like a stud, a fantastic catching prospect. You've got guys like Edbert Elize, who are not healthy, but are the Cubs, you know, top pitching prospect, a good guy that, you know, could probably be a front of the rotation type of piece if they really wanted to make a move. But the interesting thing with the Orioles is they know they've got to sell off these assets. They've held on to these pieces for too long. Every team knows that at this point because the Cubs have discussed basically the same guys with the Orioles every time they've talked. Kevin Gausman, Zach Britton, probably Adam Jones, Manny Machado at some point, and likely Dylan Bundy. The latter, Dylan Bundy and Kevin Gausman, are two guys that the Orioles might be ready to move on from. If the asking price for Zach Britton is as low as people are saying, the Cubs could potentially get Britton and get a pitcher being, you know, Bundy or Gausman to help supplement this pitching staff. The other thing, though, is Theo has said there isn't many spots for this to work. Any situation you bring, it's pushing someone like Chatwood out of the rotation or putting someone like Bundy or Gausman in the long reliever spot. You want flexibility and you want another starter that you can rely on. It seems like right now, Mike Montgomery is likely going to stay as a starter even when Darvish comes back. So his spot in the in the bullpen probably, for at least this year, is not there. And, you know, you talk about it all the time. If you have a starter, a pretty good starter, or a very good reliever, you take the pretty good starter every time. So Mike Montgomery likely staying in that rotation, especially with the question mark that is Yu Darvish right now. It just doesn't seem the Cubs really know what the prognosis is. There is some interesting stuff coming with Drew Smyly. He threw off the mound. I don't know if he had a simulated game, but he did pitch off the mound yesterday during warm-ups. That's good news. He's been in the locker room more and more recently. I was able to catch him a little bit on Thursday. Didn't really talk too much, but saw him there. So he's around. He's participating. If the Cubs, you know, they probably aren't going to say anything, but if Smyly could come back and be a good pitcher for this year, the Cubs would take it in a heartbeat. It saves them from, you know, expending any more prospects or players that they may want to keep. The only question is, if when it comes to this potential Britton Gausman slash Bundy trade, it's, you know, what pieces are you gonna have to give up? Because it's gonna be more now. It's gonna be clearly a lot more you're gonna need. I don't know if the Cubs necessarily pull the trigger if it requires major league pieces. Victor Quarantini, maybe. I can't see Ian Happ going in a deal to the Orioles for those guys. It just doesn't seem like that adds up. So, I mean, there's options there. I think Zach Britton is a piece that makes a lot of sense. He fits what they're trying to do. But there's a lot of people that are going to be interested in him. The Cubs don't necessarily need to get Britton. You know, if there's a deal that makes more sense, I could see them doing that. You know, if it's going to cost them less. It is what it is. So, you know, we don't know exactly what's going on, but I would say, without a doubt, the Cubs are going to probably add another reliever. They want another starter if they can make it work. But if Drew Smyly is that guy and can be healthy this year, I mean, that's a huge boost for this team. So, but when it's all said and done, the Cubs need to get either their starters healthy and going longer than 4 or 5 innings, or they got to add someone that can eat these innings. James Shields is an option that we've talked about. J.A. Happ could maybe make sense. You need someone that's going to go out there and pitch 6 innings, 7 innings. And even if they give up 4 or 5 runs, the Cubs clearly have the offense that can make that up in a heartbeat. So the big thing is giving these guys, these relievers and these starters, enough rest to be effective when it really matters in the postseason, or at least a push to the postseason. So that's been all I have here for the second portion. Let's head over to the third segment. All right, so taking a look at the NL Central standings, of course, the Cubs lead the division at 58-40. They have a 3.5-game lead on the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers, of course, at second place are 56-45. You've got the Pirates, who've jumped into third place after the Cardinals lost to the Cubs last night at 51-49. They're 8 games back. The Cards at 50-49. They're 8.5 games back. And then Cincinnati at 43-56 comes in at fifth place at 15.5 back. This division looks a lot more competitive than the records show right now. Cardinals are a much better team than 50-49, and I think I've been giving them less and less credit as the season goes on. That's incorrect. I think the Cardinals will be in the picture for a long time for the regular season here, at least. Pittsburgh, I don't know. They're streaking right now. I could see them crashing at some point. Milwaukee, of course, is here, and they're here to stay. So, taking a look at the NL West, of course, we talked about Arizona here a little bit. The Dodgers at 55-44. They have a game and a half lead over the Diamondbacks. We're at 54-46. Rockies right behind them, just a half game back behind Arizona, 2 games behind for the division at 53-46. Giants at 51-50. They've got a pretty competitive division as well. 4 teams that legitimately have a chance of, you know, pushing themselves into the playoff conversation. And then, of course, you got San Diego, who is 15.5 back. Looks like one of the worst teams in baseball. You know, they're not necessarily something we're talking about. But this is a big series. Has a ton of playoff implication for the time being. If the Cubs were to drop 2 of 3 and Milwaukee wins, I mean, that's like a game and a half lead. You talk about Arizona, if they win 2 of these games, they could jump into first place. It's a big, big, big moment here. So, you know, the Cubs, every series they're in right now, they've got a lot of really competitive teams coming their way. If you look at the rest of their games coming up, you know, after the Diamondbacks, of course, they've got the Cardinals this weekend. You know, good teams. Got some good teams. Pittsburgh falls behind them. They've been hot. They will eventually play the Padres. Hopefully that's a nice rebound game here. Kansas City as well. They'll have some winnable games smushed in between some really good player teams. Of course, majority of them are in their division. You talk about going from Kansas City over to the Nationals for 3 games, and then you've got Milwaukee, Pittsburgh again, Detroit, who the Cubs struggled with weirdly, Cincinnati, another team they've struggled with, and then the Mets coming to the Phillies, and so on and so forth here. But a lot of these teams are good. They're going to be competing for a playoff spot, and, you know, nothing's going to come easy at this point. So Cubs got to push and win these series like they have all year, or at least recently in these last couple weeks. This last month of baseball has been impressive. They keep coming out on top, and, you know, as the Cubs say right now, they're very happy with the performance that they're getting out of their offense, more or less because it seems like Joe Maddon feels like this team offensively is just built better for the postseason. The Cubs are currently a top 10 team in runs scored. They lead the league in runs scored past the 7th inning, but they have the least amount of home runs hit after the 7th inning. So they're not crushing the ball out of the park like they were last year and really relying on the home run ball. And I think that's big. You know, people might look at the power numbers and be concerned that they're down, but realistically, you know, you talk about a team that's doing really well, getting contact, moving the ball around. Joe Maddon keeps talking about this. They're putting pressure on teams in aggressive moments. Joe Maddon talked a bunch about how he wants his guys to put the ball in play, especially with runners on, and even more importantly, when they're in scoring position, to force the other team to react and make a play, to have to do something to you know, prevent the Cubs from scoring. You know, he's aware that a lot of times that can lead to double plays, and the Cubs did hit into their fair share this weekend because the Cardinals are great at executing those type of things. But, you know, what he's basically saying is make this team beat you. Make this team make the play. Don't try and take yourself out of the game by trying to club a three-run home run. Instead, put the ball on the ground and see if it finds a hole. Or put the ball at someone and make them make a play. Force this team to beat you. Don't take yourself out of the game because you feel like you have to club a home run, or you feel like you have to annihilate a pitch, or whatever it may be. And that's kind of where Jason Hayward's success has come into play. Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo have been great. Anthony Rizzo, the greatest leadoff hitter of all time, according to himself. He's been great at the top of the lineup. He talked about kind of having this reverse lineup where, you know, Rizzo and Bryant are two very good on base guys with clearly a ton of pop, but what they're doing right now very well is getting on base. And then you have guys like Hayward and Zobrist and even Wilson Contreras, whose contract rate is very high, and a guy like Wilson, whose power is kind of coming back here a little bit in the second half. The Cubs are hoping they score a lot of runs with Rizzo and Bryant at the top of the lineup, with Hayward, Zobrist, and potentially Contreras bopping them in. Same with Schwarber. He's got the pop. He's going to always have the pop. Schwarby can bang with the big boys, for lack of a better term. So really, the offense is great. The big thing is really is pitching. That's what's scaring me right now. You can catch tonight's game on NBC Sports. Of course, I'll be there covering it. But that's about it for today's shows, guys. We appreciate you tuning in. As always, you can check out LockedOnCubs.com for the archive of all our episodes. You can find all our podcasts either in the Apple iTunes store as well as the Google Play store. Whatever you can find podcasts, you should be able to find this podcast. Leave us a review, like, subscribe, reply to Ryan or I at Twitter. You can follow Locked On Cubs at Locked On Cubs on Twitter. Send us questions. We're happy to respond and engage you, the guys. It's always fun when you guys ask us questions because we feel like we get free stuff to talk about, so it's always fun. But thanks for listening. Always appreciate you guys tuning in. Enjoy the rest of your week, and go Cubs.